Welcome to Technogram, Redington's podcast channel where we explore interesting stories from the tech world. Today we are joined by Sailesh Bhatia, who is a senior account manager at CyberArk. With over 15 years of experience in cybersecurity, he helps organizations protect their most important assets and identities. He works across industries like finance, government, and energy, tackling the biggest challenges in today's cyber world. We're looking forward to hearing his insights on staying secure in a rapidly changing landscape. Welcome, Sailesh. Thank you for being here on Technogram.
Thank you for having me.
Really happy to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get into this exciting world of technology?
Sure, absolutely. So first and foremost, computers are something which always fascinate me. Let me talk about my family first and then I'm going to come to the professional world. So I'm the youngest, I have two sisters, both of them are elder to me. And my eldest one, she is a computer engineer. And back in 98-99, when she was doing her engineering, my father brought her the big computer. And during those days, we didn't have nice thin pads. It was a massive bulky desktop altogether.
Yeah.
And she was the first one who basically kind of introduced computer world to me. Back then, I was more interested in playing games as an 11, 12 year old kid could possibly do.
Right.
But then gradually, as in when she was doing her programming, she finished her graduation, her engineering, the computer was left with me and I kind of got further fascinated. I started exploring a bit more about Windows and rest of the technologies which were, and back then in 2000-2001, WWW, World Wide Web, mm-hmm. was a big thing as well. So we started exploring the websites, created my Yahoo account, email account, gradually. And then, as I was looking for my break, back then again, BPOs was something, was a big hit. And I got my first crack with the BPO organization, wherein I was a technical support for an ISP, Internet Service Provider. I worked there for approximately a year and a half, and then I switched to another organization where I was basically a tech support for Norton, back Symantec's retail brand. So I was a tech support for Norton. And then I did realize that I can't be in BPO world forever because effectively it has a very short space
mm-hmm.
where you come, you pass out your graduation, you do your, you work in a BPO organization, but you need to have a long-term plan. And that is when I decided to come to Dubai. As in when I landed to Dubai, I started looking for jobs. I was really lucky that I found my first job with one of the biggest distributors back then and perhaps still now, Aptech Distribution, and now it is known as Ingram Micro. So I was part of the Symantec team there. I did Symantec for quite some time there, approximately 4 years, and then I moved from Aptech and Ingram Micro company to a different organization, ComGuard, where I worked for a brand called GFI. Thereafter, I worked for the longest, I would say so far, in my professional career, approximately 5.5 years. Then I did work with Starlink, where I had a privilege to learn more about enterprise technology like Thales and Forescout. Beautiful, amazing, a big, and so gradually the technical world was evolving. It was getting more and more complex and there were more hackers, more attackers. As you have good guys, you have bad guys as well. So in order to keep up the pace with the bad guys, technologies had to evolve. So from a simple endpoint or antivirus, which I used to do in 2008-2009, I started learning more about PKIs and HSMs and everything. Postcop was more about NAT technologies. And then I did work there for approximately close to 2 years, I would say. Moved to Credence Security. Credence Security helped me to learn more about digital data loss prevention and PAM. And that was the first time I learned about PAM. Worked there for a decent bit. And then I got a job with CyberArk. And here I am with CyberArk, one of the biggest identity security company. So yeah, that's a brief nutshell.
Sailesh, quite a journey. And in this answer, you have probably mentioned all our competitors. So
sorry for that.
I would love to also know, when was your first association with Redington?
Yes, I think I would say my first association with Redington did start with CyberArk itself. Because when I was doing DLP, I was part of another distributor. So I never had a privilege or a great opportunity to work for Redington as an organization, because obviously Redington is a very renowned and it's one of the biggest brands, I would say, in terms of the distribution world. But it just happened so that our paths never really did cross when I was an employee of our respective different distributions. But now when I'm working for CyberArk, I had this huge privilege to work with Redington team, amazing team, fantastic to work with. And yes, and I'm really delighted that I'm doing this interview and podcast with you.
Absolute pleasure, Silesh. It's the same here as well. Can you tell us a little bit about CyberArk? Can you tell us the main objectives of CyberArk? What does CyberArk do? What are the main solutions that you are focusing on today?
Sure, absolutely. So CyberArk as an organization, it started off in 1999. We did celebrate our 25 years anniversary very recently. And CyberArk, as in the name goes, it is a very immense in identity security world. People know CyberArk primarily for privileged access management.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have evolved so much more than that. Yes, it is our flagship product. It's something which we anchor upon. But nowadays, CyberArk is typically a proper modern identity security platform. So CyberArk as an organization, in a very brief nutshell, if I had to give it to you, is someone who basically helps in terms of securing your human, non-human identities, securing your privileged and non-privileged identities, and securing all the assets which you have in your organization. So that's a very brief nutshell, if I could give it to you in a very simple terms. But yes, there is so much more to the picture than what I've just told right now.
And it's a very established company. It's been around for quite a number of years,
yeah,
as well. And the region also, it's been here for a few years, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So CyberArk started off with the Middle East, I would say approximately in 2014, 2015, if I'm not mistaken. And yes, it had its own journey itself. So as an organization, we have grown leaps and bounds. We are with more than 4,500 employees right now globally. And within Middle East team itself, we have more than 12 people, whereas it started off with just one person. And within a space of approximately 5 to 7 years, we have really grown big. And within the region, we cater to the entire Middle East, Turkey and Africa. We do have a massive team who looks after it. We have a team based in Turkey. We have a team based in Africa as well. Within the Middle East team, we have respective right resources and key strengths in terms of assisting our partners, our clients, to give them the right context and support them with the whole information so that about the latest identity security trends and how we can support them in securing their identities.
Okay, can you also kind of give me a brief on what have been some of the major changes in the market when it comes to cybersecurity over the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, overall the cybersecurity is a very vast subject. Now, if I have to talk typically about CyberArk as an organization,
yes,
itself, yes, we did start previously with privileged access management. In fact, CyberArk did coin the term PAM, and that's something which is also available on Google. And this is where the whole journey started. So we are one of the innovators, or rather the innovator, but we have continued to evolve along with it. And so has the bad guys, so has the rogue, so has the attack chains, because the attack surface has expanded. It's no longer just those critical assets. The attack can come from anywhere, any angle altogether. So CyberArk has kept pace in order to maintain that posture, security posture.
Mm-hmm.
So with CyberArk, it not only does protect your critical assets, but it also helps in terms of offering the right authentication to the right identities, to connect to the right privilege controls and ensuring the right orchestration and automation of lifecycle.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in, you connect, you do your job, and you get exit. So there is a right lifecycle which caters to the entire CyberArk thing. And to add to that point, basically with regards to CyberArk, initially it was about human identities.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last few years, pertaining to your question, that what changes had happened?
Yes.
Because organizations have been in a race to digitally transform themselves,
mm-hmm,
to make their business more agile, they are developing a lot of applications. They're trying to be more user friendly towards consumers, and as and when they're doing that, they're incurring a lot more different technologies like Kubernetes and Ansible and Jenkins, so massive different platforms. So it's equally important for an identity security organization to secure those non-human identities as well.
Okay. Are you able to give me an example of what a potential threat could look like just a few years ago and today what it looks like in the PAM space?
Well, in a PAM space, okay. So there had been threats, I would say, where previously would not have been able to capture, mm-hmm. but now we can capture it. So basically, the attack could come from internal resource or external resource. All right. The landing of an attack could be typically an endpoint, but now it can also be a browser, although it did connect to the endpoint.
Yeah.
But here, the attacker could be from either of the sides of the table, mm-hmm. and as and when it lands into it, it moves laterally. And as in it's moving laterally, that means it's moving from machine to machine, identifying where they're able to elevate the privileges. So as in it's elevate the privileges, it moves to the next level. So imagine there's a massive hall where you have a lot of people sitting in lines, right? But out of all those lines, you have only one person who has a key to go to the next alignment. And then in the next alignment, there is one key who helps you go to the next one.
Right.
So gradually, it's like you are climbing a horizontal ladder, not mm-hmm. a vertical one. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly how attack chain happens.
Mm-hmm.
So attackers are very patient people. They can sit in the environment for months and months. And they do a lot more attacks, as in like it could be a very silent attack or it could be a brute force attack as well. So previously, attackers were doing more of brute force attack, but now attackers are far more patient. There are state-owned agencies who are orchestrating these attacks on other states to espionage and do whatnot.
Often you don't even know you're under attack.
You don't even know, exactly as you mentioned. You don't even know. There was an attack which happened to one of the very biggest company in the whole world, which we all know, and they were attacked. There was a state-owned agency which basically did orchestrate this attack, and that attacker, or rather the cycle continued for like 18 to 24 months, and the attacker basically just kept trying slowly and trying different passwords and different combinations, and the more, because they went slowly so they can go under the radar. If they do a brute force attack, that organization can easily pick up there's an attack happening. But when you enter the wrong password, you don't get alarmed first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you enter the wrong password, let's say 5 times together,
yeah.
you do get alarmed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly what that state-owned agency did. They tried different combinations. Eventually, they did land up in that biggest organization's DR site, and they were able to extract all the emails and all the critical information. So yes, the attack chain has really evolved a lot in past few years.
That's very interesting. Can you also say how will CyberArk customizing solutions for remote workers?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, this requirement definitely scaled up a lot, especially during pandemic period. During pandemic, we all had to work from home.
Yeah, so the IT system that we're used to was now in our home, right?
Yes, exactly. So anytime before, let's say 2020, we all had to come to office. We are in a very well secured perimeter of a firewall. Nothing's gonna go wrong. We have a Lakshman Rekha around us and nobody can touch us. Though there have been breaches, but typically you are in a very safe, cushioned environment.
It's safer than, yes. Yeah.
But post-pandemic or during pandemic, organizations had to create an immediate arrangement to allow these workers to work from home and different locations. So CyberArk did come up with a technology. We have something which basically uses adaptive multi-factor authentication, which we basically rely upon cloud, but it comes with a biometric authentication.
Okay.
So we have a biometric authentication technology, and you can also couple it up with the SMS or email based tokens. So biometric is typically for the users who have smartphones, so that's something which you can leverage upon, but people who do not have smartphones, they can use upon email or OTP tokens to connect to the critical privileged access management cloud environment or self-hosted environment. It's completely integrated, and as and when they're landing, they're able to access to the critical assets. Mind you, these users are well monitored, well regulated, and if they do something which is non-compliant, they can immediately be terminated from that session. So this is typically for the users who are contractors, but what about the people who have to work from home?
Yeah.
Now these users, the one who are able to connect from outside, can also be the internal users,
mm-hmm.
can also be the users who are the office users, but they just happen to work from home.
Yeah.
So we typically did eliminate all the VPNs, all the agents, all the passwords, which you require to connect to your environment. So we rely upon our Alero solution, which is a VPN-less, password-less, agent-less solution, wherein you can leverage the cloud connector and connect to these privileged assets of atmosphere, environment, and have completely regulated, completely controlled and safeguarded environment.
So is this solution something that you see still a high demand for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I would proudly say that majority of our solutions does go along with this package, because this is something which is going to stay here forever. This remote workforce, or rather the idea of working from home. In fact, recently, Khaleej Times wrote out an article.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes,
yeah.
Right? When UAE ministries are genuinely thinking about allowing companies to allow their employees to work from home.
Yeah.
The traffic outside is terrible. Mm-hmm. Today, I don't know, it took me approximately 30 minutes to come from JLT to Reddington office.
Yeah.
Normally, it's not the case on Sheikh Zayed Road.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it took more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, which means the country is doing great, which is
yes.
always a positive in that. But yes, like you said, if there's an option for people to work from home
yes.
on certain days of the week, why not? And then if they can do it in a secure way, even better.
100%.
So one of the other flagship solutions that CyberArk has is Cora AI.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what exactly is Cora AI and what are the main features?
Absolutely. So Cora AI is something which CyberArk has been working for quite some time now. And AI is gonna be part of our lives. This is something which you obviously have to embrace it with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better that you work along with AI rather than not work with AI. But with CyberArk's Cora AI, it is, although in a beta phase right now, it is going to get launched on quarter 1, 2025. But we do have an information of exactly how it's going to help organizations, employees, users, how it basically helps. So Cora AI helps in terms, it's basically embedded across our entire identity security intelligence platform.
Okay.
It is completely embedded in that. It can help in terms of detecting any intrusion detection attacks, at the same time mitigate those attacks as well. And how it does is basically as and when there had been any sort of an attack, which happens at times. But here, with the help of 80 billion identity data points, we can get insights how the user is behaving, whether it's suspicious, whether it's normal, because it is coupled and combined with user entity behavior analytics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it also helps in identifying the pattern of the attack. And thus, it's able to remediate, terminate, or freeze the entire session. Plus, now that's about detecting and mitigating the attack. But what about the operational efficiency?
Mm-hmm.
So now organizations, CyberArk has basically embedded Cora AI with our solutions, which basically helps users to get much more user intensive activity done in a matter of minutes, which typically would take much larger time, but now it can be done with a matter of minutes. You can enforce a policy, you can request a report, you can generate a report, you can basically create saves. There is a whole lot more which CyberArk's Cora AI does, and it is embedded across entire identity security platform, which helps organizations to further have a more operationally efficient organization and much more streamlined activity.
So if you had to give me scenario as to where and how this your solution of Cora AI can make a huge impact.
Right. So basically with now let me bring this topic up. There is a requirement of these days zero standing privileges.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the organizations are stressing a lot upon zero trust. You must have heard this.
Zero trust is well known, yes.
There's a buzzword, zero trust is a requirement. It's not something which is a luxury, it is
mandatory. Yes.
Now, how CyberArk can help by combining our zero trust, zero standing policy along with Cora AI. Typically with the organizations, you have to define the set of privileged users. They have to have certain privileges, and those privileges needs to be monitored. So there is a concept wherein you have to identify, give them certain privileges, but you do monitor. That is typically what traditional PAM does. But with regards to CyberArk's Cora AI and zero standing privileges, which we call it as dynamic privilege access, where the users have no standing access. They have zero standing access, and as in when they have to connect to the critical assets, it a solution will elevate those privileges.
So only when required.
Only when required.
Okay.
You connect to the environment, and as in when it's connected to the environment. Now this is somewhere Cora AI comes into the picture, because you are basically giving access to the person who typically has zero standing privileges. So it's going to monitor the session. It is going to find all the insightful actions what the user does, create a complete audit logs of what the activities had happened, create the whole transcripts at the same time to hold context of the activity. And if, God forbid, if there has been a breach and the person happens to be one of those zero standing privileges, but attacker happened to elevate the privileges, with the help of Cora AI and the ITDR activity which is happening in the background, can detect and suspend that session.
Okay.
So it kind of eliminates the entire process from the sources. Absolutely. And yes, as I previously mentioned, it also helps in creating, in doing hours of work in a fraction of minutes, mm-hmm. which is very, very much required these days with every organization.
And when we talk about AI, even the perpetrators are using AI with the same kind of scale and speed.
Yep.
So I guess we'll have to always be one step ahead of them.
Always have to be, right? I mean, that's the name of the game, wherein the attackers and bad guys are constantly having this fight, and we all want good guys to win. So yeah, good guys have to be on their toes.
So besides besides CyberArk, Cora AI, what are some of the other innovations that you have to secure privileged access, especially in a multi-cloud environment?
Yeah, so cloud environment is these days everywhere. There were times earlier when organizations used to not accept cloud. People were more into their on-prem environment itself. But
true.
Nowadays, you have AWS in UA, Azure in UA, and mm-hmm. a lot more different clouds as well. Now, with regards to handling this challenges of having a multi-cloud environment, CyberArk has a technology which is known as Secure Cloud Access,
okay.
which does connect a lot with regards to ensuring to give zero standing privileges to the privileged users who are cloud administrators, who have access to critical cloud assets. So these guys are someone who have information, or they have access to the critical environment which is in cloud workloads, but it is equally important that we monitor and regulate their activities. So Secure Cloud Access helps them in basically enforcing least privilege concept
mm-hmm.
and elevating privileges as and when it's just required.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one thing. Other than that, we also have a technology which can help in terms of understanding and identifying if there have been over privileges which has been given. In fact, it does remind me one of the cases. This was not in UAE, it was in Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
We went to one of the banks, and we were speaking about different technologies, and we were having a very open conversations, and cloud, multi-cloud environment question cropped up.
Yeah.
So there, we did inform the customer that there could be a scenario wherein at times with your identity IAM solution or anything for that matter, it could be wrongly provisioned. There have been scenarios, and he was very confident, no. I think my cloud workloads is absolutely fine. We have given just about enough privileges and all those things. So we did run a small test on that. He was surprised. He was surprised that three or four of the users who have 100% access to the entire cloud workloads, which is a big red flag though. I mean,
right.
That's not something which you need to give, because God forbid, if those users do get compromised,
yes.
Yeah, typically entire cloud information is
yes.
exposed. So here, in order to mitigate that kind of attack space, we ensure that to offer least privilege concept, zero standing privileges,
mm-hmm.
and to elevate the privileges only and as and when it's required.
Okay, that's very interesting. It's a great example as well. One of the biggest challenges that we have in the cybersecurity space is around talent, the lack of it.
Right.
So how is CyberArk empowering the next generation of cybersecurity professionals come up and be in this space?
That's a very relevant question, because organizations are going with lean workforce, and hence it's equally important to ensure that the right talent or the right information is imparted to the clients, to the partners, and to the whole ecosystem. Now, as per the recent study, 41% of cybersecurity team are using AI, whereas there is a massive scope of improvement in that particular segment. So with the help of CyberArk's Cora AI, we can enforce the right security privileges and give the right operational efficiency to the organizations who are obviously lean in their workforce.
Okay.
Because typically when you go on on-prem or self-hosted setup, you require an administrator, you require someone who manages the servers, you require someone who is basically in charge of certain respective assets. But when you go on cloud, your requirement of resources does reduce a lot. So go having cloud friendly solutions or cloud empowered solutions really helps in terms of addressing that requirement. But that is more towards from technology perspective. But from an organizational perspective, from more about our ecosystem perspective, CyberArk has the right set of channel partners and the right set of distributors who can assist in terms of securing or rather offering that right technology or knowledge transfer to the organizations. We do conduct customer workshops on a very frequent basis where the customers are informed about the latest updates, innovation, the latest version updates, latest trends in the security world, in the respective verticals. So that way we keep them empowered. Along with that, they can also rely upon our MSP services. They can also rely upon our SaaS services, wherein they do not have to do a whole lot. Their requirement or their resource requirement gets diminished to a large extent.
What are your expectations from your distribution partner like Redington, along with our extensive channel network, our extensive channel partners that we have in our ecosystem? How do you see us helping you achieve your major objectives?
Absolutely. Redington has been our oldest distributor. In fact, one of the oldest partner, I would say, who should join hands with CyberArk when we pretty much entered into the market almost. Now, here, with the help of Redington, and I know they have a huge ecosystem in terms of channel partners. Also, Redington also has MSSD in the form of DigiGlass. And we do leverage upon DigiGlass's capabilities. We do have an MSSD contract with DigiGlass as well. On the other hand, with regards to the partners, Redington does organize technical workshops for the channel partners to keep giving them the right information, to keep updating them on this absolutely dynamic world where things are constantly changing and constantly evolving, I would rather say. So Redington does play a major role already and can do a lot better in terms of having more information spread out with the channel partners, and with the help of MSSD, DigiGlass, they are able to address that requirement wherein organizations can leverage upon your strengths, your environment, and upscale their environment into your MSSD and allow them to manage and operate on their behalf. So these are the few areas where certainly Redington as an organization can join hands with CyberArk.
Thank you so much, Sailesh. That was very interesting and some great examples and stories. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.